From my physical side. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 50 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this silsila, Blessings of Hadith of Madani channel. As usual, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will discuss few beautiful ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and try to understand them. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Feed the hungry ones and visit the sick people and set the prisoners free. There are three things mentioned in this hadith mubarakah. One is to feed the hungry people. This indeed is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to feed the poor, the hungry ones. That is the reason that Sufiya Ikram, at their spiritual institutions, at their khanqahs, have a system of langar. There is free feeding scheme. And always there are many poor people who live and survive with that food which is provided in the langars of Sufiya Ikram and Buzurganidi. Sometimes it is fard kifaya and sometimes it is fard ayn to feed hungry person. It depends on his condition. Humans and animals are included in this. If you see an animal is suffering because of no food, because of hunger, then it becomes necessary to feed that animal. It is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that some sinners, they were forgiven because they gave water to a thirsty dog. So this tells us very clearly that we should be generous. And this feeding part is so important in propagation of deen. People always respect giving hand, feeding hand. So if you feed someone, you give gift to someone, you remove their difficulty, they will get close to you, they will have respect for you, and they will listen to you. So feeding was always used as a tool to propagate the deen of Islam. Then the second issue which is mentioned in this hadith mubarakah is to visit the sick people. Most of the times these days, sick people, you will find them in hospitals, because that is the place where people go for treatment. So one should make a habit of going and visiting, and you will find many sick people, sick Muslims lying in hospitals. Visit them, give dua to them, tell them mazaif, as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. We will learn in the forthcoming ahadith. Or if they are at home, you can go to their homes and visit them, providing that your visit does not cause any inconvenience. And if they are suffering with pain and they are not willing to meet people, then at that time one should be sensitive to that situation and wait for the time when it is suitable to go and visit them. Then the third thing which is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah is to set the prisoners free. What is meant by this sentence? Ulama Ikram have said that it means set a slave free, a person who is indebted, pays debts. This Hadith Mubarakah does not mean that those criminals who are in the jails because of their crimes, and they should be set free. Because if they are set free, then they will come out and cause mischiefs, because they are habitual with those types of activities, stealing, robbing, stabbing, assaulting, etc. That is the reason that they are in the jails. So setting free a prisoner means set a slave free, or indebted person, pays debts and make him free. وعن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حق المسلم على المسلم خمس رد سلامه وعيادة المريض وإتباع الجنائز وإجابة الدعوة وتشميت العاطس متفق عليه. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a Muslim has five rights over another Muslim: to reply to his salam, to visit the ill person, to join janazas, to honor and accept invitation, and to answer the sneezing person. And he says, Alhamdulillah. So there are five things mentioned in this Hadith Mubarakah, but this does not mean that these are the only five things which are rights of Muslim upon another Muslim. There are other rights as well which are mentioned in other ahadith as well. These are called Islamic rights, Islami huquq. Whether the Muslim is fasiq or muttaqi, whether he is pious or he is sinner, these rights are still there, and you will still have to fulfill these rights. It does not mean that if a pious person makes salam to you, you should reply, and if a sinner Muslim makes salam to you, you should not reply. No. Whether the person is pious or he is sinner, in either case, his rights as being Muslim are protected, and you have to fulfill those rights. Infidels, disbelievers are excluded from this. They don't have that right. So these rights are only for the Muslims, because Hadith Mubarakah says, Haqqul Muslimi alal Muslimi, the rights of Muslim upon another Muslim. Visiting the sick people, we have discussed in the previous hadith. And then additional thing which is mentioned here is to join the janazah, partake in the janazah. In the normal conditions, it is sunnat to join the janazah. And sometimes it can be fard kifaya, and sometimes it can be fard ayn. When there is nobody to do that, then of course it would become fard ayn. So that changes according to the conditions. Similarly, to honor the invitation, when someone invites you for a walima, for example, or just for a food, for a meal, to honor you, to show respect to you, so we should accept that invitation. That is his haq, that is his right. One can go even with the intention to help him in the preparation. For example, there is a wedding or there is walima, and you are that person's friend, family. You can go there with the intention to support him. This is sunnat. And sometimes it can be fard as well, depending on the condition. But if it is known that on the dastarkhan, on the table where the food is laid, they serve wine as well, they serve liquor as well. So if they have made arrangement of dance and music, then it is not jais to honor such invitation. This masala is very important to take note of. These days there are many invitations, weddings, walimas, and we know for a fact that there is music there, or there will be dance there, or in some dawats even Muslims invite non-Muslims as well, and to entertain them they would keep liquor. So to honor such invitations and participate in such invitations is not jais. And if you don't know and you happen to be there, and suddenly you realize that there are wrong things happening here, one should immediately leave from that gathering. Then it is said, وَتَشْمِيتُ الْعَاتِسِ, and answer the sneezing person. It means when a sneezing person, he says, Alhamdulillah, then the whole gathering, or one from them, can say, Yarhamkallah. And then the sneezing person should say, Yahdikumullahu yuslihu balakum. But if this sneezing person did not say hamd, he did not say Alhamdulillah, or he got flu and he is sneezing over and over again and again, then it is not necessary to answer. There are three times or three occasions when making salam is sunnat. To seek permission to enter the house, that's the one occasion. At the time of meeting, and at the time of departure. These are the three times. So when a person comes in an office or into a house, so this person should make salam. And the person who is sitting there already in the house or in the office or wherever, he should reply. And when they're walking on the path, then the one who is coming from behind, he should make salam. And if they're coming from opposite sides, then the younger one should make salam to the elder one. And if they are equal in status or in age, then any of them can make salam to the other person. If one side is group and other side is an individual, then individual should make salam to group. That is the sequence. But it does not mean that the elder one cannot make salam to the younger one. Actually, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make salam to the younger people to encourage them to have habit of making salam. This hadith is reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "O human being, I was sick and you did not come to visit me." Person will say, "O Allah, how I could have visited you? You are the Lord of all the worlds." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Do you not know that so and so my slave was sick and you did not go and find out about his health? Do you not know if you went to him to make his iyadat, to visit him, to find out how is he feeling, you would have found me by him? O man, I asked you to give me food. You did not feed me." The man will say, "O Allah Azza wa Jal, how I could have fed you? You are the Lord of all the worlds." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Did you not know that so and so my slave asked you for food and you did not give him the food? Don't you know, had you fed him, you would have got the reward from me? O human being, I asked you to give me water. You did not give me water to drink." Man will say, "How would I have given you water to drink? You are the Lord of all the worlds." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, "So and so my slave asked you water. You did not give him water. Had you given him water to drink, you would have got the reward of it by me." In this hadith mubarakah, there is an indication that a believer at the time of sickness, he is so close to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, that when you go to visit that sick person, as if you are gone in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So to serve him, it is equal to ita'at, following Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Providing that this person is sabir and shakir, means he makes sabr and he makes shukr. Because an ill person, his heart is broken, he's vulnerable, he's very weak, he's sad. And that broken heart is the place of manifestation of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, when you help such person, you visit such person, you serve such person who's ill, who's sick, as if you have found the closeness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the meaning of Hadith Mubarakah. Now there is a sequence in this Hadith Mubarakah. First, the visiting sick person, then feeding, then giving water to drink. This sequence tells us that visiting sick person is greater, is afdal, than other two which are mentioned. And in the first portion, it is said that had you visited him, you would have found me there. And in the other two options, it is said that had you fed him, or you gave him to drink, then you would have got the reward by me. So there's a difference. So that also indicates that the first option, which is visiting the sick person, is greater in earning thawab than other two options. Although the other two options are also very great, you get the thawab of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that, but visiting sick people is very significant and one can earn lots of thawab. وَعَنْ عَيْشَةَ قَالَتْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنَّا إِنسَانٌ مَسَاحَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَذْهِبِ الْبَاسَ رَبَّ النَّاسِ وَاشْفِ أَنْتَ الشَّافِي لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ شِفَاءً لَا يُغَادِرُ سَقَمًا. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. This is reported by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when any person got sick amongst us, in at that time Ahle Bayt or Sahaba Ikram, anybody who got sick, and they will come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would rub his hand on that person and he would make this dua: أذهب الباس رب الناس واشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. This is important dua to memorize. So when we visit the sick person, we can read this dua. This is proven from hadith and this is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this hadith mubarakah, we learn that it is sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to rub the hand on sick person. And if that person is male, of course, you are only allowed to touch the body of a male. So you put your hand on the forehead. That would give him lots of support and he'll feel very comfortable. And then give dua. If this dua is not memorized, then any other good duas in your own language you can give to make him feel nice and to make him feel comfortable. The meaning of this dua is beautiful. That, oh Lord of the people, remove the sickness. Give him cure. You are a cure giver. You are the provider of cure. Only cure lies by you. Or cure lies by you only. Give such cure which does not leave any sickness. Now this is Kamil Dua, this is complete Dua. It's not said here, just give cure. It is said that give cure, that there is no disease left and there is no sickness left. We also learn from this Hadith Mubarakah that to use such name for Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, which is not mentioned in Quran, is jaiz, providing that it does not have a bad meaning and it has a root, it has an origin in Quran Majeed. For example, the word Shafi for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not used in Quran Kareem, is not mentioned in Quran Kareem. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this dua, Anta Shafi. You are Shafi. Why? Because its root is there in Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He gives shifa. So because of yashfin, because of that root being in Quran Kareem, the word Shafi is made and derived. So this is another principle which we learn from this hadith mubarakah. And then the word la shifa'a illa shifa'uka shifa la yughadiru saqama, this is the tafsir and the commentary of the word antashafi. So we learn from here that one should make complete dua and dua of kamil ni'mat, complete ni'mat, because complete cure is a ni'mat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this gives us, because there is no shortage in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So why should one ask something which is small or which is incomplete? So we should make habit that whenever we ask something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should ask in its complete form. وَعَنْهَا قَالَتْ كَانَ إِذَا اشْتَكَى الْإِنسَانُ أَشَّيْئَ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَانَتْ بِهِ قَرْحَةٌ أَوْ جُرْحٌ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِإِصْبَعِهِ بسم الله تربة أرضنا بريقة بعدنا ليشفى سقيمنا بإذن ربنا. This hadith is also narrated by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. When someone has a sore or a boil or an injury, they would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep his blessed finger at that place and he will read this dua. Bismillahi turbatu ardina biriqati ba'dina liyushfa saqimuna bi'idhni rabbina. The meaning of dua is that with the name of Allah, in our soil, in the soil of our land or our earth, which is the land of Medina, and the saliva of some of us, which is actually the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other pious sahaba ikram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives shifa to the sick person with his order. So this is so how it used to happen, that when some person comes complaining that I got pain here, I got boil, or I got sore here, I got injury, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will put his blessed finger at that place and he would make that dua. Because in the lu'ab, in the saliva of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is cure, and in the soil of Madinatul Munawwara, in the sand of Madinatul Munawwara, there is cure. And we learn from this hadith mubarakah very clearly that the saliva of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is treatment for diseases, and sahaba ikram used to get cure because of the saliva of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some sufia ikram also, when they make dam on someone, they add saliva as well. So the asal of this practice is this hadith. The origin of this practice is this hadith mubarakah. Another issue we learn from this hadith mubarakah, that the soil of Madinatul Munawwara is cure. That is the reason that that soil is called khake shifa. And this hadith is asal, is the origin of that concept and that belief and that understanding. It is also mentioned in Mirqat Sharif that there is shifa in the sand of your place of living, your watan, your country, your city. And Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala says that when a traveler is traveling to another place, he should take some soil from his city. And when he goes to another city, he should put little amount of sand in the water and he drinks from that water will not harm him. So this is another remedy that people can use when they're traveling and going to another place. وعن ابن عباس قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعوذ الحسن والحسين أعيذكما بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة ويقول إن أباكما كان يعوذ بها إسماعيل وإسحاق رواه البخاري. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make ta'weez for Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein. And he used to say, I seek the refuge of Allah Azza wa Jal with all his kalimat, with all his words, from every shaitan and from every poisonous animal, and from the sight which causes sickness, what we know as nazar. And he used to say that your father used to make ta'weez for Hazrat Ismail and Hazrat Ishaq with this dua. This hadith is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now here the kalimatullah are mentioned. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that all the asma, all the names of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the names of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal are free from defect, from any shortcoming. Therefore, they are called tammat. So as it is necessary to take refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also necessary to take refuge in the asma, in the names of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sufiya ikram say that Isa alayhi salam is Kalimatullah and Musa alayhi salam is Kalimullah and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Kalimatullah. When someone takes refuge in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact he takes refuge in Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sahaba ikram Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi majma'in, when they used to get ill, they would seek help and get cure and shifa from blessed hair of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the blessed clothes of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will wet it and squeeze and drink that water and they'll get cured. And from this hadith mubarakah we also learn that people can get sick due to jinns and they can get sick due to bad nazar as well, because it is mentioned in hadith mubarakah that min kulli aynin lammatin, from every nazar, from every eye which causes sickness. The athar of jinns is proven from Quran Kareem, so nobody can deny that. And in this hadith mubarakah there is an indication that Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam are the pioneers of the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hazrat Imam Hussein are the pioneers of the progeny of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa an Abi Hurairah qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصَبْ مِنْهُ. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to do good with someone, He puts calamity on him. Now when he faces the calamity, he makes sabr on it. His darajat, his status is increased. A person can reach such high level due to sabr that he cannot reach that level with any other ibadat. So from here we learn that when difficulty comes, when sorrow comes, when you face calamities, it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like you. It does not mean that you are being punished. It can also mean this, what is mentioned in the Hadith Mubarakah, that when Allah loves you, when He wants to do good with you, He puts you to a test. So you can face some difficulties in this dunya, and then you can have the comforts in the akhirah, and you can have luxuries in the akhirah, and you can have ease at accountability, you can have ease at the bridge of Sirat. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have learned few beautiful madni pearls and flowers from these few ahadith which we have discussed. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon these beautiful sunnahs and the ways of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which we have learned. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the environment of Dawat Islami, in the mahal of Dawat Islami, we learn many, many sunnahs of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our this beautiful organization successful in the whole world. Allah karam aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein, ay Dawat-e-Islami teri dhoom machi ho. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. You who's hidden away from